welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 6th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 36. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
I'm Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan's over there. I don't know if you heard him. He didn't get close enough at the time, but Nathan is not in his usual booth, but he is here with us, and everybody else is here with us. In fact, full house, with the exception of Matt. Boy, if Matt gets back, what are we going to do?
Find new digs.
Yeah, really. I hear there's space available next door. Not anymore. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Nathan is here with us. I'm back. Dennis is back. RJ and James, you know. For those of you who tuned in last week and thought, well, it's just three guys doing a show. No, it's actually a lot more than that. Which, by the way, great job handling that while we were away.
Oh, thanks. We just like made it up. Totally made up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Brought Jeremy back in like comic book fashion.
Mm-hmm.
He was written off at the end of last season. His character was killed. But it turns out he just like fell into some cold water or something. We thawed him out.
Yeah. It was good to see him back. I listened to that whole entire show. And in fact, I should have saved it for the plane ride back, but instead I just sat in the room.
Watched
it on Twitch.
Try to figure out exactly how bad a job we did.
Because at first I listened to see, okay, let me listen to see if anything went wrong. And then, we had to deal with somebody else running this entire thing back here where I normally sit. Which, by the way, hey. And so I was curious how that was all going to work. I was curious about the audio situation.
A lot of trouble coming out of the radio station system into our streaming and internet broadcasting system.
Yeah. And I was concerned about how the audio was going to sound, because you had said it sounded pretty good, and I listened to it, and man, it was crystal clear. It was perfect. Exactly what we've been trying to do. And so that was great. And then I just listened to the episode because it was compelling entertainment. It was
cool.
Fun to listen to.
Well, that's generally the idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's what we strive for. And apparently without me, it works. So, and you're going to kind of be without me today just because I sound like crap.
We can't really do that, though. You're the only person who went to PAX out of this group.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to ask you questions.
I got sick coming back from PAX. I don't believe I got it at PAX. There's a couple people around here who started getting sick and who are out sick. I think I picked it up here because I felt it Wednesday night, and then I really got bad Thursday, and I'm just nastiness. So that's my excuse. Dennis is back from Dragon Con. Nate is back. I don't know where he was. The beach, he says. He is back from the beach. And he is in the room with us today because our studio got struck by lightning. This entire building, there are 8 radio stations in this building, and this building took a direct hit from lightning. It knocked 7 of the 8 stations off the air. And we have been... the station has been slowly trying to get everything back to the way it was. Nate's room does not work. The phones still work, by the way, and we'll get to that in just a minute. If you would like to get in touch with us, our number, 334-272-9228. He's got the phones over next to him, and we'll still be answering those phones. So the phones work, but the headphones in that room do not work. So he would not be able to hear a single word we say and would not be able to... he could listen to the stream and be like 60 seconds behind and getting us information.
Right.
And the microphone works, but the headphones do not work in there. So we've got him in here with us. No idea when that's going to get fixed, but maybe by next episode. However, it's just it's amazing we're even on the air at the moment, considering how bad this strike was that hit us. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You head over to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. And we are streaming the cam feed right now through Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv, look up InGameChat. You can find us there as well and join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Thanks, everybody who is in the chat room joining us. We appreciate it. If you've noticed, we have a new setup for the cameras. We have 2 cameras, plural. We've never had to say that before.
But always had 2 cameras. We just never thought to plug both of them in.
Right.
For anybody that's been watching for a while and who watches the stream as opposed to listening to us live over the radio, we usually keep the camera off to another side of the room trying to catch absolutely everybody in the room. But the problem is, given that, you know, if we ever turn to face one another, a lot of times you're not really seeing Scott, you're not really seeing me, and we felt like it was kind of awkward. So last week when we put the camera in a different position because our guest board op isn't someone who, you know, really wanted to be a part of the show. They were just helping us out and doing us a favor. We put it in a different place, so we're just trying to move it so that, you know, everybody can actually engage each other and the audience more directly. So it's not meant to be weird, though I know it's weird. Apologies
yeah.
for that.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, it's fun to try new things, and so we're going to try and experiment with different things. We're going to try, you know, this will evolve and change as it goes on, and it's fun to do stuff like that. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody, and what a week it's been, what a day it's been trying to get set up just for this show, because as we were trying to set everything up, another big it's rained every single day this week, pretty much. Beginning Wednesday, when we got struck by lightning.
Right.
It has rained, and lightning, and thunder, and everything.
Deep south, hot, wet air. Anybody that's lived in this region knows that every afternoon at like 4:30, it gets really, really nasty.
And it got nasty today when we were trying to bring all this equipment in the rain, to get this show ready to go. So, anyway, thanks everybody for joining us, kicking things off. I don't know, what has everybody been doing? It's been it's weird, because I listened to the show, so I kind of know what you did
right.
in that interim. But we don't know what Dennis has done. You don't know what I've done. We don't know what Nate's done, in the past 2 weeks, really. But, I can tell you, since getting back from PAX, I really haven't played a single thing. I've just been sick. I had a PC scare there for a moment when I got back, cause it wouldn't turn on.
I actually wanted to bring this up because I didn't notice initially, that you were spazzing out over Twitter about your PC as well.
Yeah.
I knew that you were spazzing out to me. And something that I've found, I don't find it interesting necessarily, and it's certainly only funny when it happens to another person.
Sure.
But for anyone who has been a PC gamer and has some knowledge about the system they built for themselves, it is fascinating, right? If your console gives you the red ring of death or the yellow light of death or the whatever color, whatever light-emitting thing of death, you kind of shrug your shoulders and put your hands up in the air, and you may scream and kick, and you realize that your options are fairly limited. It is not, under most circumstances, a user-serviceable device. But for PC gamers, the vast majority of us were either, even if we had help, we're largely people who put our own computers together, researched the parts, bought all the components, brought it into the world, you know, with your own labor and your time. And fascinatingly, when something goes wrong with your computer, your thing, your ability to problem solve and like logically just stop and think and be at ease with the problem disappears, vanishes like a mist, man, like a fart in the wind. It is you cannot think straight. And looking back at like what you were doing, I could tell that you were just in a horrible place. You weren't just stopping and thinking, because you told me it wasn't working, and I was like, I'll come over. We'll like do this, and we'll do this. It'll be fine. And if it's broken, it'll be this or that, and whatever. It's okay. And I get over there and realize that you're trying to do like hard system resets by sticking a pinpoint in your LEDs.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Like you would go into complete panic mode.
I was like, there's a button under the power button on the thing. And, well, I say there's a button.
There's a button. It was a hard drive light.
No, it wasn't. It was the HDD light. That's all it was. But with it turned off, I was like, oh, that must be the reset button. And so I take a pin and I push it in, and it doesn't pop back out. And that's when I realized, you moron, that's the HDD light. Yeah. No wonder it's not popping out.
But no, it's not something you would do under normal circumstances.
No.
It's not the kind of behavior that happens when someone else's thing breaks, but when your baby, when your computer, your baby breaks, it doesn't matter. I fix computers all day, every day on the job. When my stuff breaks, I go into a tense, just unbearable panic, and I cannot think straight. It's like when your internet goes out and you're trying to figure out whether it's you or the service provider, and the first thing you do is you try to go to the internet to look up something about the problem. Totally irrational, but I know that frustration happens with all people who have computers that break, but there is a special kind of panic when a PC gamer's machine, its hand-built, loved machine, fails to do what it's supposed to do. is incredibly hard to problem solve.
Well, yeah, because it was getting power. You know, I could see that it was getting power, and I tried so many different things at first, and then it was that LED light, and I was like, I'll just push this in. That's the reset, right? No, it wasn't. However, I turned it on, and it started working.
Right.
So it's good to know that there's obviously some kind of fault in the switch and not much else beyond that is the issue. So, but no, I really haven't played anything. I've been basically just catching up on sleep and taking a lot of meds and being drowsy is pretty much all I've been doing since I got back from PAX. Dennis, Dragon Con, how did that go?
I went really well. Didn't do anything video game related there. Just
there's video game related stuff there, though.
There is. There was Richard Garriott was there. Didn't go to any of the panels there. Was not really interested in anything he's doing these days. I want like Richard Garriott from the 90s, not Richard Garriott of 2014.
Yeah, okay, but I want fill in the blank from the 90s, not fill in the blank with the same name from 2014.
Almost every
circumstance where people from the 90s are still operating.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone. You could Mad Lib it with just about any name out of game development from the 90s.
Yeah, but aside from that, just I haven't played anything new. Just my old standbys, Binding of Isaac, Crawl, Kingdom of Loathing. That's been about it. You got anything going on, RJ, aside from last week?
Basically, I got the standard fare going with Dark Souls 2, Virtua Fighter 5, some Street Fighter. I've started picking that back up a little more because I've been getting a little rusty in my skills, so I wanted to get those back sharp.
Is there something over the horizon? Is there a competition?
There are tournaments, of course. You know, I have AWA coming up in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. There might be some video game tournaments there in late September. And, of course, there's always final round or whatever local tournaments to happen here. So, you know, it's always a good idea to keep your skills as fine-tuned as possible. I've been playing, watching a lot of, reading Console Wars. I'm still reading that book. I'm in chapter 50 now, and I'm at the point where Konami's executives were really concerned about it. They said a slippery slope about the violence with Mortal Kombat at the 93 CES and how... I think his name, Emil Heidkamp, was talking with Konami's Japanese CEO and how he just couldn't, he said, if you were going to go this route, I just can't be with this company anymore. I mean, his convictions were that solid.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't want to go this route, even though the rest of the video game world was going that way. But I haven't been playing it, but I've been watching a lot of it. This indie game, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yes, I've seen
that.
I've been watching.
That was
a lot
of fun. At least the first couple of views that I watched.
Yeah, I mean it was five bucks on Steam, I think.
Yeah,
$5 on Steam. Pretty very simple thing, very simple premise. But they had a debate about whether or not this was horror. Really, I mean they had to talk about scariest game ever and things like that. Best horror game of things. And they had this debate started about no, it's not really horror. I mean it's scary. I mean. But the real bread and butter of the game to me anyway, is the paranoia and the fear of avoiding those scares. They have that constant pressure of making sure that all the animatronic figures are in place.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that part of horror in the long run? Having that, like, sense of dread and fear, isn't that, like, kind of elemental of what horror is?
I don't know, I mean, you can get that from a Hitchcock film, but I wouldn't call those horror either. Suspense more than anything else.
Okay.
Because how many times are you going to see one of those things jump in your face before you get used to it? I mean, it's you know, you're going to get used to that, but the suspense of keeping that from happening, I think it's always going to be there. Other than that, standard fare. Going throughout the rest of the week doing those things.
Anything from you, Nate? I think you're going to have to get the microphone over there.
Okay.
You're good. You're good.
I beat PT the demo twice, one on my own time, and then I was shown the system.
I tried to play it twice.
You did.
But then I didn't.
Played it
but
twice
then I,
did
no,
you beat
I tried
it?
To play it twice.
Okay.
And then I didn't, and I turned it off because I was afraid.
Okay. Well, I beat it twice.
I don't understand how.
Well, the first time I followed the guide, and the second time I kind of memorized everything.
But it worked every time?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Does it actually use voice commands?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God.
And FYI, if anyone needs to know, the guy's name you have to whisper in the mic is Jareth.
Jareth?
The Goblin King?
That's the killer. No, that's the guy who killed all of his family.
Okay.
Just FYI, if you guys play it. I played Firefall. I tried that out.
That's right. Duke Frugum suggested that on the episode, not last week's, but the week before.
Yes, I had played that, and it's pretty fun.
It's free
time.
To play.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks a lot better than it did when it first came out. Then I also had played. I just randomly installed Guild Wars 2 just for the heck of it to play that again. I was bored last week, and then the Redux.
Get some gaming done, man.
Well, it was kind of just testing. Like, I didn't really, spend a whole
Metro, time. That's right. Metro Redux.
But I did play some Metro. I've only played 2033. I haven't played Last Light.
That's good. You're starting at the first,
Yeah, the beginning. I know that there were some complaints about some of the graphic they chose. Did you guys hear about any of that?
Yeah, no, I actually followed it a little bit because I was on the fence about picking up 2033.
Mm-hmm.
Redux. I read enough to know that Last Light Redux wasn't a big enough.
Right.
There wasn't a big enough reason to play that if you had played Last Light when it came out, and I did. So I didn't feel like there was anything there for me. But
I hadn't played either one of them. So
right. I mean, I knew I remember us talking about you going into that on Redux.
Yeah. But yeah, some of the choices they went with some of the color palettes are just kind of random. Like, I don't know why they didn't just stick with the old new. Everything would be dirty and messed up, and then mm-hmm. one doctor has like a crisp, clean hat. It's like, I don't know what they went with that, but I mean, so far, I've only played on about an hour and a half of it, but I mean, it's been fun. And at first, I put it on the hardest difficulty just to mess with it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, nope.
The Ranger mode?
Yeah, Ranger. Okay. But then I also did it. There's two different. You have one that you don't get a UI at all.
Oh yes,
But then you select your difficulty. There's you set different, and I did all that and just to try out the hardest and. I mean, at the beginning of the game, you got like one clip with like 12 monsters, so you didn't even last a second.
Right. Yeah, animation was scarce in that, or ammunition was scarce in that.
And you can randomly die if you don't go the proper way.
Right.
That's all. I remember that, but other than that, that's, I'm going to jump on the Destiny bandwagon Tuesday.
Are you really?
Oh, Jesus. Thanks.
Yeah, this is still happening. Yeah. You're still picking up your copy.
Yeah.
You go play it?
My copy or the game?
Yeah, like you're gonna play the game.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna play the game.
The actual game, not just your shiny white PS4.
I'm not getting the white PS4.
Oh, you're not?
His connection, Nate's connection, backed out.
Ah.
And so they had it on display at PAX. They had the white Xbox on display as PAX too. My idea of it didn't change. I thought it would still be cool to have and get rid of my other one. That's fine. But it didn't feel like, it was like, I didn't have any problem canceling the order. I've got a PS4. I'm going to play Destiny. I'm getting Destiny, the Dinklage edition.
Will it cost you how much to cancel again?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It cost me nothing. And it brought the price way down on what it was going to cost. So I was okay with it. I had some plans for getting the starting fresh with the new console. I was going to install a new hard drive into it, bigger hard drive, faster hard drive, and had planned on doing that. But I was like, it can wait. It kind of changes when you spend a ton of money on a hotel room and flight and everything else. You're kind of like, that's okay. I don't feel like having to pay that off. That can go away. So I didn't have a problem canceling that pre-order, but I am going to play the game when it releases. So, you are not, obviously, and you don't have Gamefly anymore.
No,
so.
I am not buying it.
Did you re-up on Gamefly?
Nah, No. I am just, I don't know. I'm not 100% decided on what I want to do, but I just can't give them 60 in my bucks for that game. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite right. I think there is a couple of sips worth of content there. And probably an enormous amount of add-on content to come downstream. And I think that socially I am likely to clash with the sorts of people who really enjoy that game. Because I don't think they've been unclear about what the game is necessarily. I don't believe it's an MMO. because it isn't an MMO. It isn't. It's incredibly clear. But it borrows a lot of the terminology and a lot of the stance and the disposition of MMOs. You know, there's an air of it present. So when we talk about the kinds of things they're going to have on offer, when we talk about a raid being a thing of higher difficulty requiring multiple teams, you know, that's fine and it makes sense. But like six guys is not, that's not a raid to me. You know, it's not. It just, there's nothing there, you know, and that's the only one they have. Whatever it is, whatever level of supposed difficulty or complexity it is, there's only one. And that's not enough. That's not enough.
How many people usually in a raid, do you say?
Well, it depends on the game.
Obviously,
I mean, it's been funny because discussion about Destiny has often revolved around, and I think a lot of the conflict is, people who love it for what they think it's going to be, and people who hate it for what they're afraid it's going to be. But in certain circumstances, people love it or hate it for being what it actually is, and they just have different, they have different feelings about that. To me, a raid is the same type of group activity that you would undergo with a single team, but requiring multiple teams, usually several times more, a greater time investment than you would have normally. It is just, it is a normal group event, like a dungeon or an instance of some sort, squared and cubed in pretty much every direction. It requires generally a lot of cooperation and much more detailed interaction with things like that. But it's just not, it's never going to really live up to the concept of that complexity because it's just a shooter. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I like shooters, and I believe, based on the alpha and the beta, Destiny's very good at that. It's very fun to play. I want to be honest about that. That level, the core shooting mechanic, is very, very sound. And I know that the characters were relatively limited in the beta, extremely limited, I should say. But all of that really fun complexity that comes out in a proper MMO, the kinds of things that we often denigrate for being Holy Trinity or hotbar combat or any of those things, they work very, very well. Dedicated classes with dedicated roles, each one supporting the other, each one playing their part. Someone manages aggro, someone is responsible for stepping on the gas and doing damage, other people are responsible for healing or buffing and debuffing, control, all these different things. Destiny doesn't have that, and it can't have that, and that's okay. It's just that no one should pretend it's going to have that. And I think any game like Destiny needs people to keep playing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, and there's nothing wrong with that. But from what I've seen, that means PvP. That means go and do their PvP. And I don't like that. I don't think they've made a very good game where that's concerned. Which leaves me as a more PvE-oriented person in a game where I don't like the PvP. And I think that there's not much there. So, yeah. I'm not saying, like, it's trash, I hate it, it's crap, I don't get the hype.
I'm not getting that from you. I hope nobody else
is. It's none of that. It's just that I know what it's going to look like at launch. I know what it's going to look like. And for people like me, it's going to be a race to maximum level, and then a race to try to figure out how to get on the gear treadmill and be doing the better content and doing all that stuff. And I don't want any part of it. Maybe later. I think maybe it is the kind of game I want to come to after their first DLC. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd also like to have a better idea of how it's going to shake out with PvP people versus PvE people. I think it's very difficult balance to strike in an online game that's trying to serve those two tastes, those two masters. I don't believe they're going to... I don't think they've got it nailed down. This is a hard thing to do. So
wait and see is just, you know, is,
yeah, and I've got plenty other things to do. I've would much rather, you know, pull the old Logitech Extreme 3D Pro out and try to learn how to be something less than awful than elite.
I took a look at Enemy Starfighter while I was at PAX.
Yeah, you did.
The game that you had suggested when we were talking about that. And in fact, we need to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll talk all about that and PAX and everything else. Your phone calls, 334-272-9228. We'll be right back with more in-game chat in just a moment. Here is the main theme from Metroid. welcome back to In-Game Chats for segment two. We're going to talk about PAX, and in fact, on the phone, and I hope this way, you're going to have to hit the button to put them on, because I'm not over there.
It's green button.
No, it's the one under it. Thank you. W. Matthew is on the phone right now. Hey, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, man. How you doing?
Good. Last weekend, obviously, like you, I went to PAX.
You went to PAX?
Yep.
Why didn't we meet?
I said a week after I bought the tickets, I was going to PAX. I just ended up, I didn't actually spend a lot of time on the show floor. I went to the show floor, checked out what I wanted to check out, and then went to the console replay room and the panels and stuff like that.
Man, I wish we would have gotten in touch. I'd love to have met you, dude. Okay. You tried out the show floor, and then you went to console free play. On the show floor, what did you get to try out?
I went and made sure the first thing I checked out was Oculus.
Yeah.
I checked out two things. One of them was kind of okay. The other was, and I'm sure people have heard about this to death by this point, is Eve Valkyrie. Yeah, which...
Yeah. Tell us more.
Basically...
What are they showing this on? Is it the current... Is it the shipping DK2, the DevKit
2? Yes, it is the DK2.
Okay.
Which we... Yeah, I had no... There was no screen door as far as I could tell. There was no... It was obviously on the low persistence screen, 75 frames a second, so I didn't get any simulation sickness.
Okay. I've been reading that everything, that all of those issues, all of those very specific mm-hmm. issues with the early DK1 have been solved. I have heard nothing but raving yeah. over the DK2.
Yeah, the DK2 worked really well. The only thing I wish they had, though, they had basically 16 stations set up, 4 stations per each game. So they only had basically 4 games there. I wish instead of 4 stations, it was 8 stations for Eve Valkyrie, just because there wasn't enough people to shoot at.
Right.
So I only got like 1 kill and wasn't killed at all when I got to try it. But not only does it work well, the use of the... It's more of a arcade shooter. You're controlling with the they use the 360 controller. You're controlling it with the analog stick.
Yeah.
You can hold the right trigger down, and then a reticle comes up that's tied to your head movement for the missiles. Mm-hmm. So to shoot missiles, you actually have to look at the target you want to shoot at.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the cursor follows your head movement?
Yes.
Gotcha. I don't know if I like that or not. I played a game that had that ability. But it was not a shooter type game. And even then, because it wasn't a shooter type game, it took me a lot to get acclimated as to, because I was playing, I had to do button inputs with the controller,
right?
But the sticks were pointless. So it took me a little bit to get acclimated with that. I don't know. And this was just basically me looking at an image and then putting the cursor over the part of the image that I wanted to, moving in a ship, and also trying to move your target or guide your target with just looking, that seems confusing, or at least maybe a little tough to get used to.
That only applies to your missiles, your guns.
Oh, okay.
Normally,
wonderful.
But also, that is something you're going to have to get used to with VR in general. The idea that your head can actually move.
I'm used to that, but it's just. I'll relate it to playing enemy Starfighter. I was used to the fact that my head could move, but my head moving and also being my target system. I mean, I haven't tried it yet, but it just to me it sounds like that would really throw me off. Maybe it's something I could get used to. But in enemy Starfighter, I remember flying my ship, and then like the enemy would go to my left, behind my ship, in my head, I totally would move my head up and look and see where he went, and then I would pilot my ship around
yeah.
to where it needed to go.
And you find that easy, right?
That is, yeah.
I mean, because that's how we always used to work back when we were playing regular flight sims or space combat sims, anything that had a virtual cockpit, right? Yeah. Anything where you could actually move your view inside the cockpit. You could target lock on something, right? Wherever it was, just target lock on it, and your POV would follow that lock anywhere, you know, in your 6 degrees of movement of your head. And it kind of becomes second nature then to pilot your ship, bring the nose back around to bear
to center
on that target. So that's still kind of, I don't know about, I wouldn't say instinctual, but, you know, that's a bike riding type of reflex. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there.
It came back. Yeah, right. it really came back. But what was the other game you played in the Oculus?
I forget the name of the game. It was just basic. I forget the name. It was just as you moved, it allowed you to basically see. And it was just basically dodging bullets to get to a gun to kill the enemies at the end of the hallway. I forget what it was called.
I don't know. I haven't followed all of the things that are currently working with DK2 support, but the list is huge.
The one game I found out was there that I did not get to try that I wanted to try was still using the DK1 because it was an indie booth, but it was called Keep Talking and No One Explodes.
Oh, I saw a title for that, and I remember making a mental note of, like, I need to look that up. It sounds kind of fun. Keep Talking and No One Explodes.
Basically, one person wears the Rift. They see a bomb, cables, knobs, switches, like all of it.
Uh-huh.
And what they're doing is the other people that you're playing with have literally a physical binder. And as you're describing the bomb, they have to flip through the binder and tell you which wires to cut, which knobs to turn. And the whole context is they can't see the bomb. So they're giving you the instructions and you're trying to describe the bomb to them.
Yeah, it's very teamwork based, but based on communication. So the guy with the Rift has to describe every single thing, little thing that he's seeing, and then everybody else has to flip through the page to find exactly what it is that they're talking about, so they can find the schematics and say, okay, you're going to have to cut this wire and then do this and that sort of thing. I remember either reading or seeing something about that, but I remember seeing the title for that sitting somewhere around PAX and thought, I need to look that up. I did not know it was a Rift game though.
Yeah, it is. A lot of people compare it to Space Team.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Space Team. I don't have a lot of people to play Space Team with around just every day. I tried to get somebody here at work to play it, and we got a few rounds in, and it was like, oh, we got to go back to work. So, and then I've completely forgotten about it. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean about Space Team. Mm-hmm. Space Team can be done with like 4 people, I think. I'm not sure. I only did it with 2. But I think you can do it with, I think you do it with 4.
Up to 4.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it just because I'm sure everyone has seen it to death. Smash Brothers for both Wii U and 3DS.
Yep.
I got to go in and see it's the same demo they had at E3, The Witcher 3.
They did, yeah. I was trying to get in there and I said, do you know if this is from the same thing as E3? They said, no, but I'll check on that. And I came back the next day. They said, yeah, it is the same thing we showed at E3.
Everybody's running the same stuff that they've been running for the past
6 to 9 months. I went to check out The Order, and I said, hey, I'd like to play The Order. And he's like, well, did you play it at E3? I said, yeah. He's like, same thing.
Oh, the one thing they did have playable, I kind of skipped just because I don't have a PS4 and don't plan to get one, but they did actually have Bloodborne playable.
Oh, yeah. I would like it if Scott had done that.
Yeah. Did not get in to do that.
I also checked out a number of indie games, a lot of the PAX 10 stuff. Of the PAX 10, the one that caught my interest was this game called Duet.
Duet. And I did. I got the card from those people. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I got in touch with those people. And Duet reminded me of that PS4 game that was released during E3 with the two birds or whatever it was. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Dennis?
Not a clue.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
I have no idea.
And I can't remember what it was called.
The basic premise for Duet is that you basically... And they had people playing it with a modified NES controller to sort of set the premise. You basically hit left or right, and it's basically you have these two balls that are on a circle, and it keeps turning around the circle, depending upon the direction you're holding down left or right. And your objective is obviously to get to the end of the level and avoid all of the obstacles by turning it left or right, but they're always stuck opposite of each other on a circle. So it's constantly flinging the back and forth to dodge and avoid all of the objects in the level as it's constantly moving forward.
Yeah. No, I was... You did as good as you could to explain that. it can be hard to explain a little bit, but yeah, and Entwined is the one I was thinking of. That was for the PS4 that was released during E3. But yeah, I liked what I saw. I liked what I saw of everything at the PAX 10, by the way. Duet was a good one. Mushroom 11 was also great. Framed is like right up my alley. Loved Framed. Did you get a chance to play that?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, Framed takes a situation. It was on the iPad that I played it, but I believe it's also getting a Steam release. But Framed has a scenario play out through comic panels on your screen. It plays out, and usually your character runs into a problem and gets shot by the police or something like that. You're like a...
It's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. You can't make it through there, through the entire, all the panels in one go. So the video resets, and then you can move the different frames around to give the path, to make the clear path for the character to go through when you hit play.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that. Puzzly. There was one where you jump out a window and you have your briefcase and you slide down an electrical wire. But then in the next frame, the police take aim and shoot you. However, if you move one of the frames over that has a bird sitting on the wire, you'll hit the bird first. Bird will fly into the direction of the police officer, and he'll miss his shot, and then you get through. So it's a lot of that's the kind of the scenario that that you can play through. Just
this what? Also, the other PAX 10 game that I think is worth mentioning is Video Ball. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Basically, it's a game, I believe it's 2-on-2, and you're basically, it's very old graphics, where you're basically these blocks hitting this ball back and forth, trying to score, but the thing is that you're not hitting the ball directly, you're shooting at the ball, and depending upon how long you charge, the bullet will make the ball hit harder.
I did not see that at the PAX 10.
It's weird and hard to describe. The other one, not a PAX 10 game, but still worth mentioning, Costume Quest 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, got to play that.
Yeah, Costume Quest 2. You're talking about everything that was on level 6 at the convention center, which was there were the two places I hung out the most was level 6. And also the Indie Mega Booth. The Indie Mega Booth, the lines were very short. People just pull you off to come play their game. I got to play Universe Sandbox 2. I got to talk to them. And
that is true. The lines were short, except for one case. Magicka 2.
That was level 6.
Yes. That was in the Indie area. Magicka 2 had capped lines all the time.
Well, Enemy Starfighter had capped lines if you wanted to play the Rift version.
What other version could there possibly be?
Well, they had a...
If the option is available.
Yeah. Yeah. The come up and play it was like, just walk up and play it. You know, it was just, here, come in, have a seat, and play the game. But if you want the Rift, here's a line, and it got capped quick because those booths were very tiny.
Yeah.
What else did I... I played a ton of stuff. Did you get a chance to play Evolve?
I did not get a chance to play Evolve there. I played in the alpha. I'm under NDA. Can't talk about that.
I got a chance to play that again. And it was fun the first time I played it at E3. I got to play it twice again at E3. Got to play it twice again at PAX. And the more I played it, the more I thought, I wonder if this is going to have lasting power. I wonder if this is going to get old quick or something, the way the dynamic is made for that game. I mean, they did a great job. This is Turtle Rock Studios, the guys that did Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And they did a great job making that last for some people. I was not one of them, but it was fun.
One reason that game has lasted so long is with mods.
Very
the amount of mods that game has.
I guess. I haven't followed it enough to know that. But if mods have done the trick for that, I can't see mods being enabled for this. Obviously on PC maybe, but yeah. This seems geared towards the next-gen folks, the Xbox Ones and the PS4s for Evolve.
It's going to be a much more curated experience.
Yeah.
The balance between units is going to be incredibly important, and it's going to be something that they're going to want to stay on top of, and they're going to want it to work a very specific way for all those people. I don't think it's going to have both broad appeal and lasting power. I think that the appeal is going to be narrow, but I do get the sense after watching some videos that it's going to be right up the alley of a certain type of person. Yeah. And it's going to have, my guess would be, a dedicated crowd, a dedicated following for a significant amount of time. The question is, you know, is it going to be enough to sustain it?
But Steam sale.
Yeah. Yeah, I was more interested in it than I was initially after I watched the videos. And was then immediately sad, but then heartened to hear that they pushed it back. Not indefinitely, but like to an unspecified date. Is that right?
February. No, it's got a February date. Yeah.
I knew that it was the first of next year, but I didn't. And I think that's good. I think they realized, hey, another 6 months. We could use another 6 months.
Well, I mean, that alpha definitely helped them because you could tell it needed.
They're doing another one, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
When is that one? Do you know?
They just posted they're doing one. I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
I'll double check that real quick.
Yeah.
What was available at PAX? I'm sorry. What was available there? Was it something old or was it a new build?
It was old. Same build I played at
E3. Everybody's just trotting out the dusty old code, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, I will say that the order, while he did say that was the same build from E3, he said they've made improvements to the build. But it was the same.
Oh yes, the internet fine tooth comb made sure to be both furiously angry about it, but certain that they had made changes, mostly to the renderer that they were using. Same playable sections, same all of that, but it didn't have some of the lighting and tearing issues I think people were concerned about the first time around.
Yeah. What else did you get to play?
What else? That was, I spent a lot of time, like I said, at panels. That was most of what I got to actually play game-wise. I spent a lot of time at different panels and in the console free play room and stuff like that. Again, we're talking about PAX like Gamescom or E3. Let's not do a disservice to the listeners here. PAX is as much about the panels, the free play room, all of that stuff as it is what's on the convention floor. PAX is very much a festival of gaming. It is not just, hey, check out what hasn't come out. There are other reasons to go.
There are other reasons to go. They didn't have a pinball panel this year, so I didn't go to any panels. there actually were a few panels that did interest me, but the amount of time to get in line for them and then to go through them themselves were conflicting with plenty of appointments that I had made. So I rarely get the chance to see any panels when I go to PAX, just due to the schedules that I make and to the appointments that I have with a lot of people on the show floor to play their games.
Yeah, there were quite a few good ones and quite a few interesting panels this year.
Your favorite?
The one that was most interesting was the one I went to Monday, and that was, to give you the title, Confessions of Former Trolls. And it basically was these five people who are now ironically community managers talking about why people troll and their past, because these were all past trolls. These were people who, before they were hired in the gaming industry, trolled big time.
So is this like black hats turned white hats?
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, I had never considered. I honestly think I'd be more likely to trust a black hat hacker turned white hat than a professional, semi-professional, or hardcore amateur troll.
Yeah, who's gone into community manager. Yeah.
Because that would just be the perfect position to be in as a troll. That itself being elevated to that position would be a fantastic troll. I had never really thought about that, but nobody better, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's five community managers. It's the head community manager for SOE, Sony's MMO division, mm-hmm. Tryon's community manager, Extra Life's community manager, and I forgot who the other two were. But yeah,
that sounds great. Actually, I would love to. I would love to. No, many of the other things that happen at PAX don't appeal to me, in the least. But very often, I find myself sad after the fact when I hear about a panel. I'm like, I would like to go. I like people talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That
there are a lot of interesting panels like that. Plus, if you ever got to. See the stuff that came out of the giant bomb panel and then the PAX Rumble the next day.
Mm. Yeah, I could do that. I think I could one of these days make the trip, you know, once teleportation's figured out. And I can just bamf from one corner of the country to the other and just be there.
PAX is something you really should do at least once.
Yeah.
There's one in Boston, there's one in Seattle, now there's one in San Antonio. So, I don't know, you waiting for Atlanta?
I'm probably going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
This is not a part of the country that this industry is particularly interested in. I mean, Atlanta does good. Atlanta has a really good footprint for a lot of the mm-hmm. kinds of things that, you know, intersect Venn diagram style our interests. It has a lot of great production facilities. There's a lot of reason for gaming to be involved there. It's a much cheaper place to produce. But, I mean, that didn't prevent, you know, bad things happening with the CCP studios there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
E3 used to be in Atlanta when it first started.
It did. It used to go back and forth. And the last time I went to E3 actually was 90. After, it was 99, and it was after they said, like, we're not coming back to Atlanta. And I was like, I cannot do this every year. Well, I cannot. It is too much. It is too far. I am too giant a man to sit on an airplane.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I do not like L.A. It's not a thing I wanted. And I know that Atlanta does not have the same sort of... I understand why it's not there. I really, really do understand why it's not there. It was just... it's a gas, man, to like drive like 2 hours and be at E3. That's fun. That's easy. I want it to be easy.
I know.
And seeing anything of importance in this part of the country is not easy.
Well, the ESA has basically been talking they might actually break their contract with the LA Convention Center because even they're starting to realize just how fast E3 is losing its importance.
Right.
And how conventions like PAX are really starting to take its place.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to make another change like they did, 7 years ago now? Not the same type of change, but to look for another opportunity to pivot. And become something different.
We've talked about it. I mean, you guys get more entertainment and info from watching the press conferences at home.
Soaking mm-hmm. it up on the internet.
Yeah, you guys get more info because I'd be on the show floor and I didn't even know that. I don't know. Name anything that took place over the weekend.
Right.
I didn't know about it until either later or not at all. You had mentioned that the Oculus guys had talked about, you know, bringing that thing out at a lower price.
Right.
That was something that came out, I think, while I was at PAX or probably on the plane ride or something, because I read the article today.
Yeah.
That was pretty much my thing. I was surprised when I heard on Friday Nintendo had announced...
Yeah, there's another one.
Announced their...
A new 3DS.
I'm like, that's... I experienced that. It's like, I'm here, but...
I got in the line to get into PAX with some with our friend Chris from... he doesn't do Super Happy Fun Time Show anymore, but Sausage Factory is what he does now. he said, so what do you think of the new DS? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, you didn't hear Nintendo? I can't do a British accent, but yeah. And tried to look up some info on it as to what was different about it, what was compelling them to make a brand new model of their 3DS. So yeah, you don't hear about these things when you're in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
You're
trying to get to your next meeting.
Yeah, you're in the middle of it. You don't get it. Cell reception's horrible. You're not going to pick up anything
this is,
there.
This, and I do think this is a major, major problem because for a long time, even going all the way back to the mid to late 90s, distribution of information out of E3 to the internet wasn't a very big deal. What was most important was picking up the next edition of any particular magazine. Everything was still shuttling through magazines, you know, even into the very early early aughts. Now, it needs to be completely revamped. It's a decidedly 20th century spectacle that isn't really behaving in a 21st century kind of way. It needs to be a lot better. You need better access to the information for those people on the show floor, better distribution, and otherwise it's going to kind of strangle itself.
And honestly, the demos that you get to show on the floor, why not just put them out over your systems, you know? Put those out there and say, here, you get to play what's on.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of ways to do this that I think would be better for everybody involved.
Yep.
You could do that on Steam. I don't think you could necessarily do that on the consoles too well. But Steam, I did the Evolve Alpha that way. It's like, played it after the weekend, it disappears from my game library.
Yeah. Perfectly easy to do. That concept has been working perfectly well for a long time now.
Well, also, you're also gonna have terrible cell service anyway, because when you cram 80,000 or 100,000 people into a small area, you saturate the cell towers.
Oh no, yeah, I mean it comes with the territory. I completely understand it. Although I think Vegas, yeah,
it's a city that's better designed to handle conventions of that size anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Vegas would probably be a good place for E3. Scale it down would probably also help.
Mm-hmm.
You now have PAXes. You have other conventions where you can... the thing is, even a lot of the games press don't even like going to E3. They'd rather go to PAX. If you want to invite Time, go ahead. You want to have a place for all of the normal news outlets to go, sure. But the games press doesn't like going. They actually like going to PAX, which is actually kind of an interesting point to make. You see it in the way news comes out of E3 is covered by a lot of the gaming press. They do not like being there, versus you see the way they cover stuff at PAX. And they want to be there. They like actually interacting with people.
Yeah, well, there's a difference. They get to hang around with the people that read their stuff, like their stuff, or maybe even hate their stuff. Whereas when at E3, they're all hanging out with each other.
Yeah, well, I think you're actually on the cusp of a much more interesting and possibly kind of venomous discussion.
I know.
Because you're talking about the enthusiast press who is on uneven and unsteady ground right now.
Yeah.
So
it's not just that they get to hang out with their readers, it's they actually get to hang out with the people they want to hang out with. PAX is considered by a lot of people to be sort of a meeting place for their other friends in the industry.
Yeah, I agree with you in some of that. Obviously I'm different when it comes to that, because the E3 for me is not the same E3 that any of the other major gaming press get to go to. PAX for me is kind of the same.
PAX treats YouTubers and other media sources well. E3 doesn't. They never have. They probably never will. They're just very... E3 is mostly a retail convention. It was originally set up to, hey, we need to sell our things and convince stores to stock their shelves.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We got to go. We got to take a break. And we appreciate you calling in, and you know, thanks for listening.
Yep, thank you.
Have a good one. We'll see you next Saturday. Oh, there you go. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat in just a moment. This is music from Portal 2. We are way behind on this, but we're gonna get caught up very quickly. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Marida mashi.
And welcome back to the second hour of In-Game Chats. Let's see. I haven't done a roll call in a while. AC Wraith is in the chat room. We have AZNGP. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Build195, Blue Inside Out, Cavalier UK, Lavos, Grazit, Hooploaf462. That's a new name I haven't seen, and a cool one. Jack Kraft, Jimmy the Saint, Cali Synth, Plorch, Prime Harbor 3. STM Fuller, three blades, and W. Matthew in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for the live show. We appreciate it.
One of the great things about the live show is something that those of you who watch later, particularly on YouTube, you do not get, to try to figure out what it is we're talking about during the breaks.
Because we maintain
the broadcast, which can't hear us. You are instead getting...
pantomime.
You're getting wild gesticulation, obviously heated discussion about things we are usually deeply invested in and cannot say, either because of the nature of the words or the content of the conversation.
Or the rest of the length of the show.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I will say that I was lamenting the sorry state of... The games media, games journalism,
yeah.
Which is a thing that I do often. I do it very, very often. It's a thing of mine. So,
yeah. Going back to PAX, we have a lot of interviews that we're going to be lining up. I wanted to line one up for this weekend, but I wasn't sure how I was going to be feeling. And so I decided to just play it safe and not line that up. But, excuse me, the... Universe Sandbox 2 guys want to be on the show. Guns of Icarus Online, I got to play that, and they're more than happy to be on the show. We've got the guys who did a game called Action Hank. It's not really Hank, it's Hink, I believe, H-E-N-K. It's a two-person team, and it's actually in Steam Early Access right now. It's a racing title, They're wanting to be on the show. We've got the guys from Speedrunners. I met them. not Elite Dangerous, but Enemy Starfighter.
Right.
I met the guys who did a game called Life Goes On. It was one of the PAX 10 titles. Basically, you're a knight, and your death helps you get through the level. Let me put it this way. Let's see. There is a bed of spikes between two platforms. And you can't jump it with your guy. So your guy dies on the spikes. Well, that creates a platform. Your body, your dead body, creates a platform for the next guy to come across. And then you just keep killing yourself to make that go through. Anyway, I met them, and I handed him a card, and I said, yeah, we'd love to have you on the show. And he's like, where are you guys out of? And I said, oh, we're out of Montgomery, Alabama. He said, really? Our guy that does music, he's from Alabama. I was like, because they're out of Canada is where they're based out of. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. We were at the indie mega booth last year for PAX, and this guy came up and really liked our game and said, hey, I'd like to do some music for you. He sent us some samples. We hired him, and now he works for us. So I thought that was an interesting connection to make. I mentioned that I saw Framed. I saw a game called The Next Penelope. I saw Mushroom 11. I saw Ty Taylor's new game. This is the guy that did The Bridge. We've had him on.
Yeah.
He did a game that is nothing like The Bridge called Tumblestone. It is a somewhat Puzzle Fighter-esque type game between two to four players. And, oh gosh, I saw a lot more than that. Talos Principle, Not a Hero, a lot of stuff that I saw at E3, Evolve. I saw Assassin's Creed Rogue, and Assassin's Creed Unity. I'm just going through the title list real quick to say what I saw. I saw the N++ guys for their title for PS4. And a game called Cannon Brawl, which I got an invite from to check out their game because they listened to our show, which I wrote back and said, really? It's one of those things like, really? You listen? They said, yeah, you guys have, your name's been going around the indie stuff because you've had some indie people on your show. And so, yeah, I have been listening. So I met with them. And goodness, let me think of some others that I got a chance to see and to play. Played a little bit of the new Saints Row expansion.
Yeah, expansion.
Got Out of Hell.
Yeah, its own standalone.
It's a standalone expansion. Saints Row. There you go.
I pretty much figured that from the trailer.
Yeah. Dead Island 2, I got to play a little bit of that. And
did you play the first Dead Island?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not. Ooh, Invisible Ink.
Yeah. Now, well, I was waiting.
I was I'm waiting going through my head of all these things, and I'm mapping it out in my head as through
there's,
the floor.
There's one I'm waiting on, too. Let's see if he did play it. Keep going.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Quiz time.
You broke him.
Yeah, great.
Now he doesn't know what it is, and he's going to be thinking about
Darknet. I played Darknet, which was another Rift-only title. And I'm trying to go through the show floor in my head to see what I played a lot of or what I didn't play. I did not play Binding of Isaac, if that's what you're asking for.
Of course it's what he's asking for.
Of course!
What
else would it be?
Yeah. I didn't. Was it there?
I believe so.
I did not.
I think it was at the Mega Booth.
If it was, I don't remember seeing it. Super Meat Boy, a new version of
Super
Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy Forever.
Yeah, that was there.
Okay.
But I did not see a Binding of Isaac.
Ah, that's a shame.
So.
It doesn't matter. In 2 months, everybody will be able to play it because they just announced the release date for that.
I played Shadow of Mordor, which I had not been paying any attention to.
I've been paying plenty of attention to it, but just because I can't figure it out. I can't tell whether this is it okay.
I just feel really skeptical about it.
Yeah, I'm like super skeptical. Like I squint my eyes and I'm like, nah, I don't know. I like your presentation, and every time they release a trailer of some sort, it's usually very descriptive. It's usually like talking me through what's happening, and I don't trust that. I'm not saying that they are lying. I'm just saying that when someone is, this is what's happening, and like this is how we fill in the blanks between the action, and I'm gonna give you exposition during my descriptive and informative advertisement. I'm like, I need to see like a guy playing the game, right? I need to see a normal guy playing the game. But if like half of what you say this game does is for real, then it is very interesting.
I have to say, I was surprised on a lot of fronts because I had not been paying attention to anything of this. I mean, it had the free running style of Assassin's Creed, but it had the combat of Batman. And I actually got to play it, and then it was it's the ranking system between the enemies that opened up a brand new thing for me. I thought this was awesome. I asked them if they had. I said, "Do people know about this aspect?" And he's like, "Yeah, we've put it out there." I don't necessarily know what he means by that. If he means that, we've put a trailer out there that shows stuff, but we haven't really explained it in depth. Here's the thing: some bigger characters get introduced. They'll get a name, and then they'll get a title under them. Like, I don't know, Ragnar the Scourge of something, whatever. If he's able to defeat you in combat, he levels up. Once you die and then you come back, there's a screen that shows like all these generals are on the back. They're like the main heads of the family, basically.
Okay.
And attached to them out in the field of like 25 other characters can be some bodyguards. Some of these 25 characters are just standalones, and some of them are attached to these heads of whatever. If you attack the heads and are able to beat them, then those two guards still serve that guy, but that guy serves you. So when you go on to take on another one of those heads, you can have these guys come with you.
Hmm.
Now, it works the opposite way. If you go after his two bodyguards and defeat them, they are now under your control when you go after this guy who now has no bodyguards to help him fight. If they beat you, though, they rank up.
Okay, how do they rank up? If they beat you, because you are the player, you're dead.
Yeah.
Does it have, I'm assuming, some sort of very particular type of respawning or reloading mechanic? Like where you're...
Yeah, you become like a wraith.
Because you don't like reload your game necessarily because you died. Because it's all within the in-universe fiction, is that you're a bit wraithified.
Yes,
you're like a wraithified... ranger guy.
Yeah.
So they defeated you, but that state is persistent. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say like, oh,
you don't have to go back all through this stuff that you that you did. You respawn at a certain point. I'm not exactly sure how that mechanic worked, but I know that I was in the city when the guy who was playing before me had died, and they said, do you want us to start over, or do you want to just start where he's at? And I was like, I'll start where he's at. I respawned just outside of that city. Mm-hmm. I kept all my abilities. Everything was kept. It's just that those guys got tougher to defeat now. They gained armor, and they gained a reputation within all the other ranks. And so they started having their own group, their own clan follow them around. So they became tougher, whereas before they were single. And now they're a group following this guy. And each time you die, they just keep leveling up. So I asked the guy.
Die.
Yeah. Well, I also asked the guy, I said, so technically, could I go after these guys, intentionally get killed to level these guys up to a massive strength and then take them out so I can get them at a higher level? He said, you can do that, but they will also level with you every time you know, if they're on your side and you kill another guy, they're going to rank up along with you.
Okay.
So you don't have to necessarily have to do that to kind of break the system or something like that. Anyway, he was going over this, and that's when I started thinking, my God, this is great. I love this. I love the fact that they die and rank up, and it goes through this whole thing. He ranks up, and then like another guy will rank up too, and it's just, it's all on this system built with these 25 or so enemies that you come into contact with, related to these generals that are also tied to some of them and some aren't. But you're the whole main point of the game is to take over every single one of those heads of the army so that you can make the final attack, I guess, at the end. So I really like that aspect. Hey, it was the first time I had experienced
a very
it.
Simple question. Is the gameplay fun enough? Because I am not intrigued by the swords and spells mm-hmm. gameplay. It needs to be rock solid, though. The actual combat's got to be really solid to underpin all of these really good ideas that they're trying to.
And that's a good question.
Because I love those ideas. I really do. And again, I'm quite skeptical about how well they're really going to work, how much this variation is actually going to play out,
mm-hmm.
And how much agency you're really going to have in it. Always skeptical of that. But any amount of experimentation. They are trying something different.
Yeah.
And different is good in the... I mean, it's obviously AAA space, but it's more mid-tier mm-hmm. type of stuff, and I think that's a wonderful place to be right now. But how do the swords feel? I know that's a silly thing to ask, but...
I'm glad that Nathan found the link to the Nemesis system, apparently is what it's called. There's a link in the chat room for you guys to look that up. The combat. I'm a bit nervous about the combat because I did a lot of repetitive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was this stun move. It's a lot like Batman's vault over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a way to get out of danger. And I was swarmed with a bunch of guys, and I died. But that's also because it was the first time I was playing it, so I wasn't really comfortable with the controls. I hadn't really gotten down the timing of everything. There's a nice counter move, just like it was in Batman or Assassin's Creed. Counter move pops up over their head. You press the button and it counters. Doesn't automatically kill, and it doesn't set you up for another attack, but it does get you out of that range. But there was a stun move that I just did over and over because I was swarmed trying to get away from him. That felt repetitive. The bow and arrow that is pretty good if you can knock off a headshot, I was really clumsy with, because you had to hold down L2 and then aim, and then hold down R2 to do the focus time, and then I think press R1 to fire the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get off a shot to save my life, and I did die a lot while I was playing it. So combat. Yeah, I'm still iffy on the combat. I really didn't get enough time with it to give you a good assessment. I don't like it as it stands right now, just for the little bit that I've had. I think I can get used to it, but I don't want to base it on that little bit of time that I played with it.
Okay.
In smaller groups, I did very well. But in larger groups, I did horribly.
Okay.
So, there was that. Another game I played was Dreadnought. That was a fun game to play.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I really enjoyed that. It's odd because I wouldn't think that I would. You're piloting these big, what kind of class? Dreadnought class, maybe? Is mm-hmm. that the class that they
sure,
are?
I think so.
It's just giant ships. And so they move very slow. which for me would think, if somebody was telling me, oh no, it's a shooter between ships that are just moving very slow.
Yeah.
That would tell me there's no way I'm interested in that. But boy, am I.
Really?
Yeah. Just because it's slow, the ability to not like, can I not like do a quick roll to get out of the way? No, you can't. You're stuck in that position. But that I had fun with. I really had a lot of fun with that one. I'm trying to think of any other games, and they're I have to go over my list to see what else I played. But that's the gist of it. That's the gist of everything that I got a chance to play at PAX. And I really had a much better time at PAX than I did at E3. It may be because these people were much more approachable than they are at E3 to talk to some of the people who were making the games themselves and not talk to just a PR or something like that. All of them just so willing to say, hey, yeah, I'd love to be on the show. I'd love to get you guys some codes and play the games and talk about it. So a lot of interviews on the way in the future for in-game chat starting next week. I don't know who we'll have, but I got a bunch of people lined up ready to go. And we'll get that scheduled and hopefully have an interview here every week for a good while now, which would be nice. Indie devs, always willing to talk about their games. Love to talk about their games. So we'll have that coming up. That's what I played to go over the week that was. I don't have the story about my trip to Cyan Worlds. Mm-hmm. Was great. I tweeted out some stuff. I haven't gotten all that stuff that he signed. I was able to bring back home. It is on a FedEx box to come back. And that stuff will not be here until about Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that. He took me into the vault, which sounds a lot more glamorous than what it is. Basically, it's just...
It doesn't sound glamorous.
Yeah.
It sounds impressive.
Yeah, put it that way. It's
vaults
just,
are impressive. Vaults aren't glamorous. Yeah.
Well, that's what I guess that's what I meant. Just you think a vault, big door, whatever, going to go into this thing that holds a lot of stuff. It's really a small closet.
Regular inside of it is a book you have to open, and then you go into
the vault. Then you go to the vault. No, it's just a book. He opens the door, and there's this line of PS3s, dev kits. And they've also got Wii U dev kits. They've got 360 dev kits. They did for not anything Myst-related. They were...
Just contracted to...
They were hired out. Somebody, they said, sure, we'll do your testing for you.
Okay.
For some game that never actually made it to the light of day. Nothing they built. Somebody else built it, and they were going to do the testing on it for the different systems. But they had a lot of that. They had these helmets that had cameras on them when they were trying to do experiments on video capture, where they could have the facial animations of people talking while they were doing the acting so that they could transfer that into the games that they were making. It didn't actually work. But they still had the helmets for that. They had every single type of game of Myst that you could possibly find. I got two copies of a Saturn version. He gave me a 3DO version of the game. I've got a Japanese 3DS version, a PSP version. He just had stacks and stacks and stacks of copies of Myst on different platforms. Jaguar version, because of how many times it's been ported over. T-shirts, coffee mugs.
You're just going to have a wall of Myst inside your house, aren't
Ray-Bans.
You?
Which had nothing of...
Flamethrowers?
Yeah, really.
Myst the flamethrower?
Right. nothing was on the Ray-Bans themselves to signify Myst, but the case that the Ray-Bans went into had Riven written on them. So, yeah.
Riven-Bans?
Yeah, really.
Did they have any Beats?
No, they didn't have any Beats. That was way before their time.
Hey, never
heard. That was before their time. But that was fun. Took us out to lunch, and I had lunch with the guy that created Myst. That was surreal. I had some Thai food with the guy that created Myst. That was amazing. It really was a fantastic thing.
You're
for me
really
to
an incredible doofus. Anytime you get within,
I am
like actual human, you know, touching distance with a person you adore.
I'm weird about that, but. That was fun. We'll have pictures on our Facebook page and stuff whenever those... Again, I shipped my camera back as well just because of the all the stuff that had to come back. I was like, just put the camera in there and send it back too so I wouldn't have so much. But yeah, that was my PAX. And it was a lot of fun. And hopefully you'll be hearing more about that as we interview developers and stuff in the coming weeks. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have more of in-game chat. Don't forget that you can give us a call, 334-272-9228 is the number if you'd like to get in touch with us, 334-272-9228. We'll be back in just a moment. Here is music called To Galaxy. Figure it out. To in-game chat for the final segment. That was music from Geometry Wars, which reminds me, I got to play Geometry Wars 3 while at PAX.
Yeah.
It's
and
the new aspect of the 3D levels. I was horrible, but once I got to the regular screen, like it's been for the previous Geometry Wars titles, I did fine. I really like it. It's one of those fast-paced shooters. I really enjoyed. I could remember when it released on the 360. And there was that high score race between everybody who was on your friends list, getting the high scores and knocking people out. And we don't do that as much anymore. I do it with pinball, but I just don't do that anymore. I liked Geometry Wars 3. I liked playing it, but the 3D levels are something I'm going to have to get used to. So there was that one. There was a game called Turn On that was fun. Also, Flicker was another one that I played. And I got a chance to play the Borderlands pre-sequel.
Yeah.
Which was Borderlands.
I will say, I think we know what we're getting with that one.
Yeah. And I got to play Civ again, Beyond Earth, Civilization Beyond Earth. So, a couple of games there that I'd missed when I was going over them. Anyway, goodness, so what? We got Destiny next week. And
Destiny on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is anything else happening?
I know.
Is everything decided just to completely avoid next week because of Destiny?
So. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
What are you looking ahead to after Destiny?
I can't
or
tell
during
anymore.
Destiny?
I can't. I don't care. I've got stuff. I own games that I haven't played. Yeah. That's an enormous surprise to no one. I have absolutely no idea what the next thing is. I really don't. I had been planning on Destiny, I really was looking forward to it. I like, you know, being on the ground level of new things. I like launch day. I like brand new stuff. I don't know. Everything is all down there, downstream somewhere.
Isn't it?
October or November.
Yeah. Even then, it all feels like 2015.
Yeah. It's later. Everything is later for me right now. The only thing that I can even remember a date on anymore this time, this year, is Warlords of Draenor, the World of Warcraft expansion, which I'm in for.
What is that? When is that?
When?
Yeah.
November 13th.
Okay.
November 13th. And, you know, really there's a lot to be said for...
I thought it was the 18th.
Is it the 18th?
Because that's the Tuesday.
I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Middle November, some Tuesday. Who cares? Doesn't matter. But they're going to do their large reorganization of everything, usually about a month out from that. So it's fine. You know, I'm in for it at this point. It's not a joyless obligation. I won't say that, but it is obligation. My people always come together every couple of years. Play World of Warcraft together. It's just whatever. It's an easy thing. You know,
yeah.
It's a well-worn rut. We'll play it. We'll raid. We'll do whatever. Well, it is what it is. It's strange that there's nothing to get excited about. There's no reason to believe that things will be better, that the game will improve from the ways that we think it's actually gotten worse.
Not with that attitude.
But I have had the other attitude several times over. And
I've played every expansion.
Yeah, it's... No. My heart's still back somewhere in Lich King, so...
Burning Crusade for me.
But, yeah, that's about the only thing I can think of offhand that I know what the date is. And that
I know Shadow of Mordor is October, but that's still not...
No, it's a huge question mark, though.
I know, it's not...
enormous question
mark. It's not
mark,
a thing that's like... It's pinging me that, hey, it comes out soon, but it's also saying, you know, there's your wait and see coming out soon.
Yeah, that's not a take my money.
No, it's not.
Type of thing.
My brain is kind of split because it puts myself into the timeline of Batman never getting delayed. And so it makes me think, hey, Batman would be coming up here, you know, if the alternate timeline existed, Batman would be coming up in October to play for Arkham Knight. But now it's not. And so then I look at what is there for me after. And there's Destiny now. There is possibly Shadow. And then there is... If they announce Rogue for PC, there's Assassin's Creed Rogue, but they haven't.
Yeah.
And it'll be Assassin's Creed Unity.
I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do Assassin's Creed again.
No.
I can't. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think that it'll be bad necessarily. I think it'll be, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. It'll be more Assassin's Creed,
right? But with a little more of the detail washed away, right? It's like an old statue or carving or bas relief or something at this point. Like it's all weather worn. It's like, you know, you can't quite see the details and the features that used to really stand out. That used to actually make it. Something distinct. It's worn off a lot of its own character. And I can't believe the amount of money that it takes to make something with no character. Or progressively less character.
So you remember the rumor, or I don't know if it's a rumor, but maybe it was true, about the Assassin's Creed Unity getting microtransactions?
Yeah, there was some buzz about that. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
We did.
It was basically just the stuff you unlock throughout the game is what they were saying.
Oh no, I put two and two together on that one when they were explaining Unity to me. There are about 84 different swords in the game that you can unlock.
The things that never ever really mattered in an Assassin's Creed game.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that used to, man, swords didn't get what, higher than maybe 10, 15 maybe. There's 84. 84 different ones, all of them with some kind of different stat or whatever.
Yep. Keep it. Keep them.
Yeah.
Keep your sword.
I just need one that goes stabby, and that's about it.
There are about 90 different outfits, all that come with different stats for like your stealth or whatever else. They all come with different stats. That's when I turned to her and I said, so this is why you got the microtransaction in. She did not want to talk about that. And I said, I know that seems like a really bad word, but I mean, this makes the sense. And she's like, yes, but it's not required. You can gain all of these through gameplay.
Lots of things are not required.
Yeah, I know.
Lots of things are not required. That does not close the door on the argument that this is not good for gameplay, because this is not an afterthought. It was not required for you to do this either.
No.
And you did. And you can tell me that it is not required for an enjoyable experience as if you had any idea what an enjoyable experience is to me. But I'm very sorry, and I know that many people don't agree with me on this, although I think most do. There's no way they sat down at day one, step one of design of that game, not already knowing this was going to be a part of it. This is not a feature. This is an aspect of the game that's been present since the earliest moments of its design. It has, therefore, this concept of microtransactions is present in the minds of the people who are making the game. There is simply no way for me to believe that these things are not affecting design psychologically, that this idea that you can sell items piecemeal later down the road. Some of them, yes, are totally innocuous, and many games get by towing the line, you know, just edging up to the line and not really crossing over. And nobody's really been brave enough to cross over it, because the blowback has been pretty intense when people see that they do. But it's not good, man. It's not. It's just not good. It is in no way good for us under any circumstances. There's no way for you to argue to me that it is good for us. not harmful, not required. Look, she didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
When people don't want to talk about things, when they don't, when they want to avoid an issue like that, there's a good reason. So, and yeah. I mean, there's 100 other reasons to avoid an Assassin's Creed game. This is not, like, this is not even, this is not the straw that broke the camel's back or anything. This, there are plenty of other reasons to want to avoid it. But mm-hmm. It's just sad, right? I feel all of this kind of thing like a weight, like a really, really bad weight around my neck.
You just want a good Assassin's Creed game. That's what you
want. I just want good games, yeah. man. And like, I want to feel, I want to look forward to a game and feel elevated. I want to be made to feel light and excited and interested and aggressively. I don't know. I want to expect fun, but you know,
are you, you not entertained?
No, I am not. No, I am not. Less and less all the time. It is just another cynical aspect that can be hand-waved away. Like, well, if you just, you know, if you don't think about it too hard, right? If you just don't worry about it, if you just accept the reality that, you know, us genuine and honest stewards of the game industry are trying to tell you is the thing that you should be doing. If you would just accept the way it is, it's really fine. You know, it's really nothing to get upset about. And that just, one thing on top of another thing, mm-hmm. year on top of year, new trick on top of old trick. That's all it is. It's just, there are reasons why small studios, mid-tier development at the highest, but small studios, independent game developers, there's a reason why they are succeeding. There is a reason why they are eating the wind out of your sails at the AAA level. It's because they're not messing around. They're not messing around. They make video games. They're making a game. They're delivering it to the people. They do an end run, largely, around the press. They're totally willing to interact with the people who are buying their games. It's like, you know, it's like some kind of farm-to-table operation.
Yeah.
They cut out all of the useless, bloated, corpsified middleman garbage, you know, that no man's land between the people who make and the people who play. And wouldn't you know it, they're also some of the most enlightening, elevating, informative, transportational experiences that you can have. And they cost a pittance. And they're made by people who care.
Yeah.
They're made by people who are willing to starve.
It's here's
to see their good work.
Here is the difference. They would you walk through, again, this goes back to PAX. You walk through the Microsoft, the Sony, the big booths. You walk through those, you're unnoticed. Do you have an appointment or are you in line? That's it. You walk through the Indie Mega booth or upstairs on level 7. They don't care what your badge. If you do have a media badge, if they see that little bit of yellow, they will continue to watch you as you walk around their booth. If you don't have one, they'll reach out and talk to you because they don't know if you're going to an appointment or something like that. But if you stand there and stare for a bit, they will pull you aside. They will want to show you their game. They want you to see what they're doing. And they want you to talk about what they're doing. they want other people to know what they're doing, and they want you to help them do that. And so it's a lot more fun for me to go to PAX and meet with these indie developers who really just want to show off their work and want people to play their game. And a lot of these games, because they're trying something different and because they've put more thought into it than marketing, I guess. They put more thought into it than let's not put a 2 on the end of it or a 3 or a 4.
They're making something they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a, well, we got to get the next COD Blops out here.
Yeah.
Let's shovel that out the door.
I'll throw two other game names out there that people can look up. Road to Beta, which was a fun indie title, and Rockets, 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 which was a fun title. It's rockets that shoot rockets at other rockets.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, man, that was fun.
It's like dive kick. It's like you have dive and kick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sold.
So throw those other two names together, and so yeah, the indie booth is where I enjoyed most of my time. Getting pulled aside to say, "Hey, come play my game," was a lot of fun for me, and you know, just being in general, just being around PAX and being around other people who were just enjoying playing games. It was a lot of fun, so I can kind of understand that whole situation where the press kind of likes to be at PAX. And PAX this year was a lot of fun for me. So I'm glad I went. I'm glad I experienced it. If I got sick from PAX, then it was worth it. So, yeah. And what are you going to be doing next week? What are you going to play?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I did finish up Season 2 of Walking Dead. I forgot about that.
That's right. I finished that up before I left.
Yeah. So we really can't talk about
it. I know, because nobody else in here has done it.
Which,
no. About that stuff that happened, though, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we can't. We can't. I know you want to ask, but we can't.
The thing in the place with the
yeah, we
person.
Can't. Yeah, we can't. We can't talk about it. We'll talk about it off the air, you and I, just away from everybody else.
Aside from just my usual Kingdom of Loathing, Binding of Isaac, I need 100% that in 2 months. I got 3 achievements I'm missing out on. 2 of them are the no damage runs, which are just difficult to get in that game. And the last one is just getting every power up there that is available. I don't know if I'll pull it off in 2 months.
Can't wait till you get to play Titan Souls.
Which one is Titan Souls?
That's the one where you have one HP,
one arrow, and you have to go pick up
and a boss. And boss fights everywhere. You know, one life or one HP, one arrow, that's it. One hit point.
Yeah.
But the bosses have the same thing. It's just you have to
find their weakness. Arrow.
Yeah. You have to find their weakness. So looking forward to that. RJ, anything on your list coming up?
I'll probably finish off Console Wars, finish reading that book. Probably get to the DLC of Dark Souls 2. By the time I get done with the first two that I've gotten, the third one will probably come out. I think it's coming out on the 28th. And the usual glut of fighting games, and that's probably going to be what my week is going to entail.
Nate, over to you. Destiny for you, right?
Yeah, that one game.
Yeah, you Destiny, and me, Destiny. Yeah. By the way, we made a group or a clan or something.
It's a clan.
Yeah, on Bungie.net for in-game chat.
I'll post the link here in chat.
Yeah, throw it up there for people to see. We've gotten a few other members pop in for that.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't there there's a thing, an upgrade thing they announced recently for Destiny?
Yeah, if you buy digital on PS3, they will automatically upgrade you.
PS3 or 360.
Or 360, they will upgrade you to the PS4 and Xbox One versions.
And it has to be digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get the box copy.
No.
Get that upgrade.
And it also has to be within a certain time.
Yeah, I looked up for the date, and I couldn't find the date.
I can't remember where I read it was January, but I'll have to look that up again and find it. I want to say that was on Gaff or somebody posted that, but I could be completely
January
wrong.
January 15th.
Yeah. That's good.
But I mean, similar to what Diablo 3 did.
It's similar to what they did when the new consoles released for quite a few titles. Where they had their upgrade program.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought it on the last gen system and you got a next gen system, you had until like the end of January to upgrade for, I think it was $10. It was the $10 deal, wasn't it?
Yep.
You can upgrade for $10. This is completely free.
But with that, you could have the disc.
Yeah, you would have the disc. You do have to do digital with this. Actually, no, I don't think you had to do the disc.
Well, no, I'm saying you had the option.
All right, have the option. Yeah, because I remember James did AC4.
Yeah, I did it digitally.
Digitally. So that's an interesting way to look at Destiny if you're not really on the.
Why? What is that?
Out of the gate.
What does that solve? What is that? Is it for people that are going to buy Destiny right now but are looking to get a PS4 during the holiday season? Is that what they think?
Possibly.
They want to move you over to the
because your characters
PS4 or Xbox
One.
Well,
I mean, if you didn't get one of those two systems,
That's what I'm saying. Are we expecting more? Is it basically, not an incentive, but maybe keeping maybe your choice right now, right? If you have a PS3 or an Xbox 360 right now, you want to get a next generation console this fall,
mm-hmm.
but you're in for Destiny, you're in for what that community means, you're in for the dedication on a particular thing, you get a PS4, well, this is a small disincentive, right? Because I'm stuck on the PS3 or the Xbox 360, and if I upgrade to the newer system, I'm still kind of back here, you know? I think it's a nice way of just saying, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan on upgrading consoles this fall, or during Christmas, then keep this in mind.
Yeah, yeah. Because your characters.
Good. No, I think that's.
Your characters will transfer over, everything will transfer over.
I think that's
over.
Smart. Yeah. I think that's very friendly of them to do that. I think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, the interesting thing will be, like, if you do get involved with it, and you get involved with your clan of PS3 players, and then you want to upgrade.
Yeah, because it's
you're not
going
to be able to.
Realms,
yeah, you're
right.
Not going to be able to play with those guys that you.
No,
upgrade
you are moving
from.
Into a different.
Yeah.
A different multiplayer infrastructure. So, I don't know. Still good.
Yeah, there is that there, aspect.
There's nothing
of it.
Bad about what they've done there. So.
All right. Well, it'll be Destiny for me, James. It'll be I don't know what
Elite.
It'll be for him.
It'll be crossing my fingers that the beta 2 will show up. Not that anybody here cares what that is. Doesn't matter. Next set of improvements.
Yeah.
Next set of roll-ups and improvements for Elite. And every time I sit down in front of that and I think about something like Destiny, I have... See, now I have problems. Now I have I have specific first-world PC Master Race gamer problems. Because now I love my trusty old Logitech Extreme 3D Pro. Like my little J-stick. You know, I've put a lot of flight hours into it, but I've swung back to the belief. I've been persuaded again to believe in the Rift, in the Oculus Rift. I had a lot of questions about it when it was the DK1, but the new unit and everything that I've seen that it can do really really has me reinterested. So, given the number of cockpits I plan to be in over the course of the next year, at least, I really feel like that should be somewhere in a wish list of mine. And if that's going to happen, then I have to upgrade my flight stick, because when you've got the, you know, the great honking thing over your face, you can't see your keyboard. Well, you can't see your keyboard.
No, I know, yeah. I know.
So almost by necessity, you have to have, you know, a stick and throttle HOTAS setup, which also does not come cheap. So
the Reblades ask us if you have a... the HOTAS stick and a Track IR,
I do have a Track IR, but it is a very old version.
It is.
I'm actually not sure if it still works anymore. It's something I mean to break out soon and see if I can play around with.
Yeah.
But I don't have a HOTAS. I'm kind of, you know, I'm trying to decide what range of thing I want to save for. But I know that that's out in my future, so everything that I otherwise could be spending money on because I am moderately interested in it becomes a thing that could be ignored, and I could pass on it by, you know, funding
mm-hmm.
a purchase of something that I want more. So trying to be frugal.
Well, that is going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream or on the radio. As well, thanks, everybody, who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really, really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, and you can join us on Twitter. You can join us on Facebook and our forums at coloniagamers.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group there you can join up with and play games with us and other listeners. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody in the chat room listening. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Here's music from Splinter Cell, Conviction.